Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anybody in the manosphere that's trying to say, like, I'm perfect all the time, they're selling you something.
You're listening to the premier podcast for men who want to not only be better with women, but want to be better men in general. This is the Come On Man podcast. And here's your host, Paul Bauer.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of Come On Man. If you haven't done so already, please like, subscribe, hit those notifications. Please drop a comment. Any comment will do. You can leave your favorite emoji. I really don't care. But all that kind of stuff helps us in the algorithm. If you are listening on your favorite audio platform of choice, please give us a 5-star review and actually write out why you like the show. That helps out more than you know. I'm going to try to keep this intro really short. Funny thing happened. I recorded all of this. I also recorded next week's intro and outro, and turns out I had the wrong microphone selected, so it sounded like crap. So I'm doing it all over again. So I'm just going to keep it short today. Follow me on social media. I'm at Come On Man Pod or at Come On Man Podcast. Follow me on Instagram, especially. I'm really trying to build up my following there. Join the Patreon. Patreon.com/comeonmanpod. For as little as 10 bucks a month, you can help support the show. And with that, you get added to the beer credits at the end of Monday's episodes on YouTube, but you also get all of these Monday episodes ad-free, right? You get just the interview portion. So if you hate ads, like on Spotify and YouTube and stuff like that, just join the Patreon and you can access these without all the ads. And then if you want, you know, dating advice or stuff like that, you can join tier 2 or tier 3. I'll let you guys check that out. Like I said, I'm going to try to keep these short since I'm recording this all over again. Get on the email list, list.comeonmanpod.com, and I will send you some free stickers free of charge. And then finally, check out my practical law of attraction course at loa.comeonmanpod.com. I'm getting a lot of good feedback on it. A lot of guys, went into it with the perception that it was going to be like The Secret, but it's not, right? It's actual very practical advice and it's very step-by-step and methodical. So, you know, if you've watched The Secret and sort of just like dismissed it as magical thinking, check out this course because it will completely change your concept of what the law of attraction really is. All right. With that being said, my guest this week is a 3% brother. He's been on the show before, but it's been quite a while. He runs the Awakened Man channel on YouTube. He's written several books. He's a men's coach, just all around solid dude. He lives in England. His name is Richard Joy. And we talk about all sorts of things. We talk about like the Liver King debacle. We talk about, you know, our perceptions of Corey Wayne. Cause you know, we're, like I said, he's a 3% brother, right? So we all got into contact through the 3% Man Facebook group, the now defunct 3% Man Facebook group. Which reminds me, if you guys didn't know this, if you guys were in the original 3% Man group, that group is gone now. If you didn't know, go and check on Facebook. It's gone. Chris Kokoski, the guy who founded it, his account got banned, and with that went the group. So we started a new group. The link's in the description. It's called the 3% Brotherhood now, because I wanted it to be less about Corey Wayne, the man, and more about the brotherhood of the guys who got together because of the book, right? So that's really the theme of the group now. So you still have to have read How to Be a 3% Man at least once and be able to answer the admin questions. That hasn't changed. That's still required reading. So, but yeah. So Richard Joy joins me again. Great conversation. You guys are really going to get a lot out of this. And I will bring you that interview right after these words. Do you want a positively unfair advantage in life? Most people tiptoe through life hoping they'll make it safely to death. They let life happen to them. Up until now, I'm assuming that's been your situation. Am I right about that? But you know deep down that you're destined for more. You know that you deserve more money or better relationships. Yet you're stuck doing the same thing over and over again, getting the same results. That ends today. Because you're going to check out my Practical Law of Attraction course. My Practical Law of Attraction course will give you the tools necessary to write your own story. You will be in the driver's seat of your life, not just the passenger. Your life is already getting better because you're listening to this message right now. Access this course at loa.comeonmanpod.com. That's loa.comeonmanpod.com. When you're done with this course, the results that you see for yourself will be better. Others will see how your life is changing for the better. And you'll know that everything in this course is true because your life will be better. But the choice is up to you. You have to decide if you want to stay where you are or achieve goals so big that it will blow your mind. The law of attraction is nothing without action. So what are you waiting for? Act now. All right, returning to the podcast is another 3% brother who I had on early in my show's history. He runs the Awakened Man channel on YouTube. He's written several eBooks. He's a men's coach, and he's all around a solid dude. It's Richard Joy. How's it going, brother, man? It's been a long time.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe about 18 months or so since we spoke last. It's good to catch up again. I'm very well. Lots of news to chat about in my own personal life and also with regards to business as well. So I look forward to cracking on with that. I also been following you on the periphery and seeing you've been growing as well. So good for you.
You know what? It's funny because my YouTube content, like my long form, like this, the podcast doesn't get as many like views or whatever, or it doesn't get as many subscribers as my shorts because YouTube's really trying to compete with TikTok. Mm. So I have a lot of subscribers, but they're all just watching my shorts. They're not watching the long form content. I'm like, I don't know how to convert those subscribers into watching the long form stuff. But once I figure it out, I think I'm going to make a tutorial on it or something, because yeah, it was like, I have like over 10,000 subscribers now.
Nice.
on YouTube. Amazing. But it's not translating to views for the actual podcast. So got to figure that out. I don't understand that part of the algorithm yet. But like your channel's gotten quite a bit bigger since the first time we talked too, though.
Well, I mean, Instagram is the one that's grown out quite big for me. I mean, that's took off quite a bit. YouTube, it trundles along. Okay. I mean, I think, again, it's I like YouTube the most because you can, like you say, do the long form content. That's the most fun to do. That's the ones where you can really get in depth into a topic. But I do agree. I mean, YouTube, Instagram are both trying to emulate TikTok with this very short form content, which is great and it's entertaining. But the problem is a lot of the stuff that I suppose you're speaking about and I'm speaking about is quite nuanced, you know, and you also need a bit more time to break things down and break ideas down, which is why I value YouTube the most, even though Instagram is the one that's taken off.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't think we follow each other on Instagram.
No, I don't think we do. After this call, I'll search you up. Is it Paul or is it 3% Man?
It's Come On Man Podcast on Instagram.
Cool.
Yeah.
I shall we'll
follow each other. I've been doing. Do you do reels on there at all, or do you just do like daily posts? Or
yeah. I do a mix on Instagram. Really, I mean, I do probably a mix of carousels, as they're called, if you ever utilize those. Yeah, they're quite good. People tend to like those. And of course, again, like I say, you can get a bit more nuanced on a topic and people will just slide through. So I'll do them on several things which are key to what I do: male initiation, boy to man processes, harsh truths for modern men, etc., etc. But also, it's been quite useful for me because I'm on the verge of releasing a book of daily readings, which I've been posting on Instagram. I'll usually start with a quote and then do a caption underneath. And they're quite good because you can sort of air your thoughts. So it's a mix of carousels, quotes, and then videos, basically shortened versions of what up on YouTube.
Oh, okay. I was, we're totally going off on a tangent that I didn't expect, but so I was really getting like severely shadow banned on TikTok. So I started, I took a break from TikTok for like a month and a half. And was like, okay, I'm really going to focus on Instagram. And so I'm trying to figure out Instagram. I was posting carousels and stuff like that. And there was all these, you know, Instagram gurus out there that are like, you're wasting your time. It's all about reels now. And I was like, well, that that actually helps out because that's all I'm trying to do anyway is make, you know, TikToks, which is the same thing as reels. And so I was like, I'll just upload my reels there. And so that did really good for a while. But like they're changing the algorithm again. It's like, I don't know. I have no idea. What works and what doesn't.
I hear what you're saying, man. But I think like all of these things, it's getting that little community, isn't it? Which is something you've done quite well with within the Facebook group. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that ultimately, you know, there's lots of solid guys in there and that acts as like a little nucleus. And then when you spread that out into social media and other platforms, it's quite effective. And I know for me, it's been very useful being part of like a little community, if you like, mm-hmm. on Instagram where, you know, the people with moderate followings, but you share each other's content, you're chatting with these guys and you tend to create a little bubble, if you like, where you have lots of interchangeable followers as well. I think that's quite useful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's been key is staying in contact with like the regulars, the guys that are mm-hmm. always commenting on videos, always like sending me DMs and just, you know, not ignoring them and actually engaging with them. I think that's helped out quite a bit.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I hear you.
So what got me to think I needed you back on the show was I saw your video about Liver King. Now, by the time this episode drops, it's like it's going to be old news, right? Because it's going to be like end of January or something like that. But like right now, it's still like sort of a hot topic. You know, if for people out there that are not familiar, there's this guy, Liver King. He's totally jacked. Right. And what he's been telling people is that he's gotten this like incredibly unattainable physique based on following his 9 ancestral tenets. And people ask him like, are you on steroids? Are you on performance enhancing drugs? And he's like, no, I suntan my balls or whatever. And and so there's a YouTube channel called More Plates, More Dates. They obtained emails that showed that he did this on purpose. He was spending like, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars on steroids that would like take out a horse. And it's like, everyone sort of knew, they're like, there's no way you can get that physique, you know, without doing some kind of, you know, steroids or whatever. And so I noticed that you were one of the YouTube channels that responded to it. What was your take on the whole situation?
Yeah, and no, it's a good place to start. I mean, I think in some senses, I find it quite sad more than anything, because a lot of what guys like Liver King say is good information. You know, it's not like he's completely talking a load of BS. I mean, he says a lot of very valid things, like let's get back to ancestral lifestyles, which is, of course, it makes total sense. I mean, we live these very unhealthy lifestyles, very sort of, we live in these cubicles, we sit down most of the time, sedentary lifestyles, our diets are poor, we very rarely know where our food's come from or what's been put in the animal or plant before we even eat it. So all of that's valid, and the stuff about getting outside and getting in the sun and challenging yourself, pushing yourself, I think that's why in a way that it seems to have gotten to people's skin a bit more than usual with this guy, because it kind of sends up lots of the messaging, which is very good for people. And then it becomes ammo, if you like, for the detractors of a lot of these movements about, you know, getting back to health, getting back to basics, restoring your masculine energy. And on top of that, it makes young people, especially the impressionable people, think, oh, okay, well, this is just a load of bullshit then. I'm just not going to bother with it. And that, I think, is my line on it too, where it's like, look, he could have just said, you know, I'm on steroids. Yeah, I am. But he still looks amazing, even for a guy. He's on steroids. I mean, he's pushing 50. He's huge. You know, he's living this alternative lifestyle. You could just say like, yeah, I do take some gear as well. And I think he might lose, let's say, 500,000 followers, but he'd still have millions. He's still bringing in millions. So you don't need to lie. I think that's the thing that stuck in my craw about it, and ultimately why I wanted to comment on it. Because I wouldn't usually comment on fitness. I am very into fitness myself, but I'm by no means an expert. But again, I think that was the main issue here is this make-believe world, if you like, that guys like that create. It's not just him, but it's almost like we turn a lot of the positive male arenas into caricatures of what they should be. And as I say, it just makes them look silly. It makes us look silly. And ultimately, it turns people off. And what it ultimately should be doing is taking them to a much more positive experience, really, of what we're really trying to get at, which is getting back to basics, physically, mentally, spiritually, and romantically. And then, so that's the point I wanted to make in the video. And I did add a little addendum on there as well with regards to, he's not the only guy doing it. You know, I think you may have seen there's lots of trad channels out there in this day and age of guys who are all about coming back to tradition. And I love tradition too. But again, they take it so far that it ends up being this caricature. And I think that was my line on it, really.
Got it. Yeah. You know, someone that I follow, that he sells supplements, but he's very upfront with like being on TRT is Rich Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, Rich Cooper's like, yeah, here's my supplement line. And he's got, you know, estrogen blockers in there. He's got natural testosterone booster stuff in there, but he'll be upfront and say, hey, this stuff won't get you to optimal levels, especially after you're like 40 years old. Mm-hmm. Like you need TRT to stay at the same levels you were when you were like 21. And he's upfront about it. I don't think it hurts his business at all.
Exactly, man. Exactly. I mean, it's quite rational as well. When you look at testosterone that's dropping in men anyway, to take action like that, I think it makes total sense. And again, I mean, I think there's other fellas out there, like, for instance, you mentioned the More Plates, More Days channel. I think it's Derek. I think he's called the guy from that. I mean, he's absolutely huge as well, but he's very open about his steroid use. And that's why he's very popular. Because again, I mean, I have never touched juice or anything like that. I don't really know anything about that world, but I will follow a guy like that because he's just so insightful. You know, he's not really hiding anything. He's not hiding his own flaws, which I think is the main thing with regards to this. Well, this arena, really, this men's arena, which I suppose we're both involved in ourselves in several key ways now. And I think it is, it's owning, if you like, that we are flawed in our own way. None of us are perfect. And that's all right. That's all right. You can still improve your life in many different ways while acknowledging, you know, that you may in some sense be flawed over here or you're enhanced over here, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I think anybody in the manosphere that's trying to say like I'm perfect all the time, they're selling you something. They're absolutely selling you something. I kind of related too. So there's guys in the manosphere that are on like Twitter, and they will they'll call me out sometimes. Like I'll put out information, they'll say, hey, you know, that's not accurate, or you know, that's not really, you know, like the big thing is like the red pill guys. I'll put out something maybe, you know, moral based, right? A great example of this is I tweeted out the other day, like, hey, don't sleep with other dudes' wives, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I personally think that that's a good advice, like that you shouldn't do that, you know? You know, I had guys like Ryan Stone, who's big in the space. He's like, hey, you know, red pill's not really about morality. And, you know, if, you know, maybe you have your moral values and you think that you shouldn't sleep with a, you know, a married woman, that's fine. But, you know, just telling guys like this is how you should live your life, it doesn't necessarily help guys. And he's like, and if we don't have these kinds of conversations, right, you just shut it down. Like, hey, let's not even talk about that because, you know, we shouldn't do that. It's like you won't learn anything. He's like, we've learned so much about women's behavior by actually talking to guys that don't have those moral, you know, filters. You know, they will go out and sleep with other dudes, women and stuff like that. And we learn more about that than, you know, shutting it down. So I'm like, okay, you know, that actually makes sense, you know? And I appreciate them sort of calling me out on that kind of stuff because even though I still would say I would still recommend not doing that, it does help me understand, you know, thing. And I try to learn more. I lean more towards like the red pill on things. So trying to learn that stuff, I appreciate guys who have been in the space longer sort of correcting me. And then I'm like, okay, cool. You know, like that's how we learn, right? Not trying to act like I know everything. So, shifting gears here, speaking of other guys that have been in this space longer than us, you did a video earlier this year talking about Corey Wayne, although you didn't mention his name, but I happened to pop into that video in the comments, because I was like, I wonder if he's talking about Corey on this, because it just sounded exactly like my experience, right? Yeah. So I guess what happened, if I remember correctly, he sort of like, you commented on it, you made a comment on one of his videos, and he sort of lost his cool in the comments. Do you remember what you said, what he said?
I don't remember exactly what it was he said. It was something to do with responding to a woman at a particular time. Something, I think he said something along the lines of, when this happens, you should reach out and do X, Y, Z. And I think I commented, among many other people there, that isn't this the opposite of what the book says? And not only that, this is what you taught me 3 or 4 years ago, you know, not to do. And it worked. So yeah. I think that was, I wasn't aggressive in my comment at all. I just said, I think something like, isn't this the opposite of what the book says? I've been practicing that and it's worked fine. Mm-hmm. To which he left quite an aggressive reply, which I thought was quite needless. I can't remember what he said, but it was something like, you know nothing about women, you like beta wimp or something along those lines. And I was thinking like, it's a bit needless. But I thought, you know, I originally thought this can't be Corey, because he's, in my experience up to then, had been just like an awesome guy, really. You know, really great book. I still think 3% Man is an awesome book. If I work with anyone who needs help in that area of their life, I'll often recommend it still, because it's just a classic. Mm-hmm. And it's very easily accessible, and he explains it brilliantly. And even from watching his content after that on YouTube, he always seemed like an awesome guy. I mean, I remember you used to say, when people say thank you so much, he'd say things like, look, this is your birthright. And I think such a nice way to view it. You know, he's reawakening men to our nature, if you like. And it's been so destroyed in the modern world. And I think that's got all manner of societal and cultural issues that have stemmed from that, which we may get into later, which are really causing problems, I think, in Western culture. But anyway, back to the point. I mean, I thought, well, this probably isn't Corey. It's probably some troll or something like that. So I just looked through the other comments, and I thought he was just doing it to so many people. And I thought, this is just odd, you know. Whether someone's attacked him and he's got hyper-defensive, I don't quite know. And of course, it was, I wouldn't say it was upsetting, but it was one of these things where you thought, yeah, I really looked up to that guy. I thought, you know, he's like a really solid person and offers great advice. And it's sad, really, just sad to see him respond like that. And as I think I pointed out in the video, you have to turn these things into a net positive, really, by acknowledging that anyone out there, as we were just saying, no one's perfect. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to be flawed. I don't know, maybe he's just tired of taking shit from people, so he's very trigger happy. Maybe that could be a guess with anyone who offers any mild even criticism. Or maybe he's just taken a different tact and he doesn't want to be associated with what he used to do or something like that. To be honest, I didn't really look that deeply into it. I just thought, look, this is another lesson that life has given me, that it's about the material you get, not the person. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be able to differentiate between the two. I think that's so, so important with the people I've followed over the years, is coming to terms with, they may well take a turn themselves, or they may all be flawed, or they may say something you disagree with. And that's all right. That's all right. It doesn't detract from the quality of the information you received in the first place, which is ultimately what I tried to do, is still take the heart of what he said and some of the great teachings I learned, which changed my life, really, but also set me on a new path, you know, and just, I've just gone further down that path myself in new ways and different ways as well. I mean, that's basically how I approached it. I was super interested when you commented and somehow knew that I was talking about Corey Wayne. I was like, has this guy got a sixth sense or something like that?
No, it's just, I had a very similar experience with him. And what's interesting, one thing I learned about it, about the whole experience, is like a lot of us in the 3% Man group, we sort of put Corey up on this pedestal, you know, like, oh, he's the ultimate know-it-all guru when it comes to this stuff, because we have, all of us in that group have gotten so much out of that book, have been, a lot of us have, you know, just killing it when it comes to dating and relationships, and even like our business lives are better having read that book and stuff like that. So so a lot of us, yeah, we sort of really looked up to him. And you know, one of my goals in 2021 was to get Dr. Robert Glover on the podcast and to get Corey Wayne on the podcast, right? Because those, oh, and I was also going to try to get Christopher Canwell on the podcast too, but he actually replied back and declined. So I was like, okay, that's off the table, but at least I can get these two guys on. I did talk to Dr. Robert Glover after I saw that you interviewed him and you and I talked about it and you're like, oh, this is how I got in contact with him. I was like, oh, perfect. Same thing. But Corey, I could not get his attention for whatever. And I noticed that, you know, he was very active on Twitter. I noticed that like most of his other social media, he's not very active on, you know. I think a lot of that is just automation, you know, pushing, you know, stuff out with like stuff tools, like maybe like Buffer or something like that. But he's active on Twitter and he's his real self on Twitter. He, you know, cause he's just sits there and like, you know, comment, he doesn't talk about dating or relationships at all on Twitter. He comments on like politics. So it's like, that's him. That's Corey. That's him being himself. But he won't reply to tweets or anything. You know, I tried a whole campaign where I was trying to get people to retweet a tweet to get his attention. Nothing. I think the tweet I put out to try to get his attention had like 1,000 retweets and nothing. Like, okay. So I'm like, maybe he's just not seeing it. Maybe he just has a lot, you know, going on. Some of the guys in the 3% Man group went on one of his videos one day. They're trying to help me out. They commented saying, hey, you need to go on Paul's podcast in the comments. And then they shared it on the 3% Man page saying, hey, we're all trying to comment here. Like everybody jump in. And I think maybe like 30 guys from the group, went to the comment section, basically spammed his comments saying, hey, you should really go on Paul's show. When are you going to go on Paul's show and stuff? Paul's been trying to get your attention, stuff like that. So I was keeping an eye on that. I was going back to that video and seeing, you know, what people were saying. I was saying, hey, thanks for mentioning me and stuff like that. And like, I think within an hour, all those comments got deleted. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, okay. So he is seeing this stuff. He's just actively saying, F you, basically, right? Yeah. So, yeah, after that, I just like I had a totally different viewpoint on him, you know. Instead of, you know, doing like Christopher Canwell said, which was just politely saying, hey, you know, I don't do interviews or, you know, whatever, which I would have been like, okay, cool, you know, and I would have still thought he was probably like the coolest guy ever. But the fact that he didn't do any of that and treated us all like spam and stuff, I was just like, man, this is kind of messed up because we all look up to you so much, you know? Yeah. So, that was my experience. And I put out something about that on Twitter and Rolo Tomasi of all people commented and he goes, you know, Corey Wayne's all brand, man. He's all brand, always has been. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, starting to realize that, you know? So that was my experience. That's
a good point as well. It's also interesting when you interact with other people in the space that perhaps, and again, it's a massive lesson, this, that, you know, it's really interesting to speak to each other now where we've both been on a bit of a journey. You know, you start off with something like 3% Man, as you say, it's an absolute classic text, but you do go on your own journey. You start to read other things. You start to go into new fields, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And now if I, you know, take in the content from 3% Man again, it's all very useful. But in many ways, you also see that at some point, someone taught all this to Corey. You know what I mean? And he's just taught many people because he's got a gift, if you like, of expressing this in a very fluent and articulate way. But ultimately, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is a great person, you know, that they're going to act in an awesome way with every person that they interact with. So there is that too, in that you start to learn some of this stuff yourself and feel a bit more comfortable once you apply that material. Because once I first read 3% Man again, it was life-changing and it really opened my eyes up to all the mistakes I was making. And then after a year or two, I was really starting to get the grasp of dating as well, like really making it work. It took practice, you know what I mean? But once you start having your own experiences, then it's almost like you learn. Do you know what I mean? You now know that a lot of the material that you were once picking up for the first time is like second nature. I mean, I remember, I guess 2 or 3 years ago, I was watching some Corey Wayne videos and these guys were writing in like they do to him. And they were just saying some of these things they were doing, like, oh, my... girlfriend has been really distant with me. So I'm really trying to like make sure I'm messaging her, you know, at least 10 times a day. I'm getting a gift. And you're just, I'm just sitting there like, oh man, believe I can't listen to this anymore. It's too cringy. But I used to do it as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, it shows how you change. You get what I mean? So it's like some of the information that would have been like mind blowing to me 5 years ago, it just becomes common knowledge. And of course, I think there is something to that, that, you know, once we picked up bits and bobs of this information, you realize he's just another guy who was a channel to pass that on. And there would have been someone, I suppose, originally who taught him in the ways, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, that's one thing I'd like to bring up a lot is basically nothing in this space is original, you know? And when I was first, you know, listening to his book, listening to Dr. Robert Glover's Dating Essentials for Men, Christopher Canwell's stuff. And I was like, man, all these things that these guys are saying all goes hand in hand very well and stuff. And at one point I even sort of had this idea, like, I wonder if Dr. Glover read Corey's book and then based his book on that, you know, but no, you know what it is that everyone sort of goes back to older school guys, right? So like Corey actually gets all of his stuff from David D'Angelo, from David Data, from Tony Robbins, from Dale Carnegie. But really, you know, that's, oh, and Doc Love, right? Like those are like the five keys there. And then you go and listen to Dr. Glover's stuff. And a lot of his stuff is David Data and David D'Angelo too. So you're like, that's why it's so similar. It's not because he's stealing from Corey. It's because they learn from the same guys. And so it's like, yeah, they're just, I guess, sort of putting their own spin on old information, you know?
Yeah, I hear that, man. I hear that. And I think it's also really important to add to that. Like the basis is ultimately the same in so much of the stuff we read. It's all about how someone articulates it. But it goes for the teachers and the practitioners out there as well, especially in this day and age where there's been this explosion of red pill. I think we're almost post the pickup explosion as well. I mean, I would say it was 5 to 10 years ago, the pickup thing was huge. Mm-hmm. And that was when I first moved to London as well. And London is an amazing city for that sort of thing because there's women from all over the world. It's just millions of people. And it was just, it's a bit of a playground, really. You can lose yourself in it a bit. But ultimately, what I'm getting at is you have to practice it. And the thing is, with all the information online, there's so many people that I would come across that be all these experts and they know the material inside out, but are they practicing it? You know, because I'd see so many guys offering advice and things like that. And I think that's straight from a book. You know, there's still nothing like actually going out there and practicing it. Because even knowing the information, there's still a technique and a way of actually doing it. I often say to guys that I'm working with, if I sort of touch on this area, it's not really my area, but sometimes we might touch on it. I'll say, you know, you need to take a lot of this red pill information and pick up information from your head to your heart. You know, what I mean by that is lots of men are head based, you know, very logical. And that's great. You know, that's a good quality of men. But it means when they apply that to something like dating, which is much more intuitive, it's much more, you've got to feel the energy, the flow, et cetera, almost be able to see yourself from her perspective, if you get what I mean. Mm-hmm. That's again, a great tool. I think that someone like Corey Wayne taught me, but again, that's all in the actual practice of it. And again, you do find it online, like there's so much argumentation that you get from guys about, you know, this is the way you do it. And you think, look, man, go out there and actually do it instead of getting lost in these arguments. And you'll feel it intuitively a lot more.
Have you ever, and I was, I think I was a little like this in the beginning, but have you ever seen those guys that are like, this is the only way it works? Like, this is the only way. Yeah. And one thing I've learned over, you know, the last 3 years of studying this stuff is that there's more than one way to skin a cat. Yeah, you know, exactly. There's not just one way, and you definitely have to find the way that works for you and internalize it. So that's it's who you are, you know, it's not a game at that point.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It has to become part of your persona, the man you are, the way you view the world, et cetera, et cetera. That's so true. And I don't know Corey Wayne's background. I think he's sales or something like that. But there are several guys I know within the Red Pill and Pickup community who come from very scientific and engineering backgrounds, which kind of explains why they maybe didn't vibe with women in the first place. Because if you like, they're, again, very logical, very fact-based individuals, and that creativity is quite low. And henceforth, they're a bit confused as to how to go about it. And they almost meticulously worked it out. You know what I mean? I got a friend who does lots of pickup to this day, and he often tells me, whenever he goes on day game, as he calls it, there'll be lots of like software engineers and computer engineers, because it's almost they're very driven by that step-by-step approach, which I think I needed too at one stage. But again, when you're actually conversing with people in that world, it becomes very regimented. Whereas I had my best experiences, I often say this, even after I'd stopped actually trying to, you know, chat to chicks most weekends or even most days at some points, I enjoyed nothing more than just chatting with women without even any real motive. You know, I used to work in an office which was full of young men and women, and I was seeing someone at the time, so I wasn't hitting on girls, but I just like to practice, you know, that interaction, because I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed speaking with women and having that energetic flow, you know, and I think that a lot of it is about just the pure enjoyment of that masculine feminine interaction, even though it might not be leading to that end goal of sex, which, don't get me wrong, at one time in my life, that was absolutely the aim. Mm-hmm. But as I grew through it a bit, and, you know, you get lots of those achievements and you hook up with different people, you start to think, well, there's more to it than that. There's more to it. And almost the more enjoyable bit is the interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, I mean, Corey also teaches us too, that we treat all women the same. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's good to do that. Even if you're not trying to get something from women, treat them all the same. And also, like, not necessarily have an expectation of outcome, because having that expectation of outcome is what really makes guys come across as, you know, needy, you know. Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, just, you know, I'm gonna brighten this chick's day by talking to her, and mm-hmm. and like having that as your goal is a much much easier goal to achieve. So we talked about Liver King. Now we talked about Corey. You did a video too on how nobody we follow online is worthy. You also mentioned, you know, I think Jordan Peterson in that video too. Can you give us a gist on that video? That was relatively recent.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I think I'm sexing the title up a little bit there for obvious reasons, but ultimately what I'm getting at is, again, I think we all fall into that trap of idolizing someone, you know, turning that person into this person dictates my life and how I'm going to live. And if you like, they become like a demigod to an individual. And again, I'm very fond of Jordan Peterson. I always have been. I think he talks a lot of truth, and I'm very interested in lots of the areas he speaks about. And I've been for many years, and he's helped me a great deal as well. But as I think I said in the video, there is a divine irony that the guy who's the master of order ended up in rehab. And I think I'm not criticizing him for that. I've been to rehab, so I'm certainly not criticizing him for that. What I'm saying is it's ironic. You know, there's an irony there that the person who helps people get their lives together more than anyone else, one of my favorite speeches of his was, you know, be strong at your father's funeral, be the person that your family can rely on. That was just such awesome advice, such an awesome life aim to try and achieve that. But I couldn't help but notice the irony, and it wasn't to be a smart ass. It was just an irony I noticed that was my favorite speech of his. And then, you know, his own family is in a really difficult patch, and he got hooked on benzodiazepines. And again, it's not a criticism. I'm not having a go at the guy, but you can't help but notice, like, you know, this is someone who's a world leading psychotherapist, whatever else he is. And he would know, of all people, the dangers of things like benzodiazepine. I mean, obviously in the US, it's a huge, huge issue. Over here, they haven't really taken off because of very stringent rules around benzodiazepines here that you can't really get them just from your local doctor without like a severe illness of some sort. But as in a standard, you know, more than me in America, they are easy to access. And of course, they've created a real mess. So ultimately, what I'm getting at isn't that Jordan Peterson is, you know, not worth listening to or talks over shit. Not at all. He's more than worth listening to. But again, it's coming back to this fundamental notion that we are all flawed as human beings. Now, the reason why I say that is ultimately because my life took much more of a spiritual turn, quote unquote, a few years ago, where I started to realize I can't rely on human beings. I need something transcendental. I won't drill on about that too much, but that was my experience, and that gave me a great sense of peace. You know, a great sense of a great ability, if you like, to deal with the shortcomings of the people in the world, and also, if you like, understand people for who they are, great or small. You know, and I think that that's the fundamental part of being a man as well, is at the end of the day, being able to come back to your own truth and say, I might be right, I might be wrong, but I'm going to follow what I feel is right. You know, instead of outsourcing it to the world, which tends to lead in disappointment I think under that video, someone commented as well, if you put anybody on a pedestal, you'll get pissed on, which I thought was a good way of putting it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Completely changing gears here. We spent the first half of the show basically talking about why you should never meet your idols or whatever, I guess. So in one of your recent videos too, you mentioned that you're about to get married.
Yes, about to get married in a few months. Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats on that, man. How did you meet her?
So we met in London, actually, in a bar in London, a place I used to frequent one evening, and we got we got chatting over WhatsApp, if you use that in the States. I don't know if you do, but it's basically a messaging platform. So we met and exchanged numbers, and then we were chatting for a bit. And then, of course, at this point, I'd had experience enough to go and talk to girls and feel confident, but I wasn't actively engaging in that lifestyle so much anymore. I was kind of on my own mission. I was building my own business, Awakened Man, at that point. But we got chatting, we met each other, and then it worked out quite well for us because lockdown started to happen. Now, I'm not mad into all the lockdown stuff anyway. I mean, I think most of it was a bit of a storm in a teacup, to be honest. And I was a little bit skeptical of it, but hey-ho, it happened and I had to get on with it. And it was an opportunity for me to grow my business and ultimately spend time with her because everything was locked down. So we basically started spending the weekends with each other and I'd work in the week. And we got to know each other over a period of months, basically, and got very close. And it was very, very natural. I mean, again, I think there are several key things which I could implement from experience with things like 3% Man and other stuff too. And also, if I'm honest, all the bad experiences I'd had had stood me in good stead to be ready for a real relationship with somebody I really valued. And I thought, okay, this is a person I really like. It completely stopped me from any neediness. So I was completely like, look, I really like her, but if it doesn't work out, that's absolutely fine. You know, I'll move on. And second to that, I could be very clear with her about who I was, what my values were, where I was headed, and if she was on board with that. And so, okay, I wasn't doing that on the first date, don't get me wrong, but when we knew this was, you know, we've been seeing each other for 3 months, we're moving to that next stage, I wanted her to be aware of who I was, that I'm more of a traditional guy than you'll get these days. I probably wasn't 5 years before that, but I think I've grown into a much more traditional position, and she was very much on board with those values, so that was great. And of course, that meant that we could very much build a relationship upon that traditional, if you like, dynamic of a man who leads and the female who not necessarily is submissive, but, you know, she admires her man, she admires masculinity. And that was, I think that's healthy, if I'm honest. I think that's the tried and tested method. And that really helped us grow very close to one another. And then on top of that, you know, she even said this to me afterwards, one of the things that I said to her was, look, my business is just coming off the ground. I'm stable, but I'm not in a position where I'm bringing in millions of pounds, you know, or dollars. So you have to be aware of that. You know, I can't offer you that right now. And again, coming in a city like London, where the pickup culture is huge, it's easy to get laid really once you learn the techniques, but it's quite hard to find a relationship with a decent woman because they want everything. Again, the red pill will teach you that. You know, they're in a city where they want a guy, you know, he's tall, he's good looking, he's got a six pack, all the sixes, you know, six figure salary, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And henceforth, a lot of women are just, I find it a bit tragic now, actually, if I'm honest. They will hook up with guys, but they'll wait for that one guy for the relationship. And that never really comes. You know, this is a big city for them. And of course, they get into their mid-30s and a lot of them leave it too late. And I saw a lot of that as well, which, again, moved me away from more of a pickup lifestyle to more of a traditional one. Because I was thinking, oh, man, some of these women are just sad. Like, I found it sad, actually.
I think a lot of guys in the red pill community call those women delusional. Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But I feel sorry for them because they've been brainwashed by feminism. You know, they've been told by feminism, you'll get it all. You'll get the career. You'll get the man. You go be a girl boss and all that sort of stuff. And they do. And they'll get laid. Plenty of guys will pump and dump them. And plenty of guys who are these six-figure salary, six-pack abs, all that sort of stuff, that will sleep with them. But they'll just basically dump them and wait for the next girl because they can just get a new girl every weekend if they like, you know. So, again, the pool that they've actually got of guys they're looking for is so small. And they basically just ride the cock carousel, as it's called, you know, and get trapped on that whole thing. And then they get to their mid to late 30s and then time's basically running out. And I saw a lot of them become sad and some bitter. You know, they become even more feminist and more angry with the world. But anyway, I was very mindful of all that sort of stuff. And the person I was with obviously didn't really have any of that energy, which was very, very important. And again, I think a really important thing was, as I said, it was giving her that space, giving her that space to leave if she wanted to leave. Again, it's that, I think it's not quite the willingness to walk away and mean, is one of my favorite of Corey's teachings.
It's more like his cat analogy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, I mean, I remember saying to me once we were properly in a relationship, you know, like, I thought it was a bit strange, but I really respected it, you know, because I'd never met anyone like that. He said, look, you can go if you want to go. And if this isn't right for you, that's absolutely fine. But of course, it's coming back to the basics of hang out, have fun, hook up. And that's what we were doing, basically. It was just fun-based. As it got more serious, it was value-based. We shared values. We have a shared worldview. And as we grew as a couple, we also had a shared vision of the future. And ultimately, that led to the position where I was ready to take that next step. And I thought, well, again, I was moving back to more of a spiritual position in my life, more of a traditional position. And that meant marriage was on the cards. And ultimately, I would imagine in the near future, family too. So it really did develop very naturally. It was very easy. Again, I think Corey says that too, you know, a relationship should be easy. It was easy. Mm-hmm. I think there was one moment where I was like, oh, we're going through this really difficult patch, or, you know, we're really butting heads or anything like that. Not saying it was completely smooth sailing. There were a few bumps in the road here and there, but largely it was simple. And again, as he says as well, the doors are just open for you. And that's the way it was in the relationship. And again, so, so important in my experience was just keeping your own peace and remembering, you know, a woman's beauty, you know, it only goes so far. We have to be very mindful as men about what we're getting into, whether this is the right person. And of course, there were several things I was doing. We met in lockdown. So I said, look, I really like this person. Having an awesome time with each other. It's a very healthy relationship. But I wanted to wait and see how she acted socially, because we couldn't go out in a social context because it was lockdown. Mm. So I waited till everything opened up again before I really emotionally connected, because one of my own personal red flags is I don't really have any tolerance for women who flirt with other men, who get excessively drunk, who I think are untrustworthy on a night out. I think I think it tortures men. And I've seen that happen. It's happened to me in the past, and I've seen it happen to friends. And it's just something I think all men should have a zero tolerance policy on. But so many guys accept it. So I thought, look, I'm going to have to wait and see how she actually acts socially, you know, when she's had a few drinks. And of course, she was absolutely great. You know, she didn't have that flirtatious behavior that someone would have. She wasn't rude to me in any way. When we went out as a couple, she'd be by my side. We'd be chatting with each other. It's not, we'd be stuck with each other all, every moment of the evening, but I trusted her if she was off over there, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm over here. And I just gently measured all these things and thought, okay, yeah, this is someone reliable and that I can really trust. And I think that again, is a very, very important consideration for men before they get involved in a relationship, is making sure that person, you know, is trustworthy across different levels of abstraction.
Yeah. And really take the time to study that, right? Like make sure, like really vet her as a person. A lot of guys rush into marriage. I did, like when I was married, I got married when I was 20 years old. I've told the story on the podcast a million times, but I only like had spent time face to face with my wife, like, geez, maybe 3 months worth before we rushed to get hitched, you know, totally bad move. We were married for 14 years too, which I also see guys in the comments often saying, well, I've been married for 20 years and stuff. It's like, well, yeah, but are you happy? Are you, you know, how's the sex? You know, I always like to ask, cause I wasn't, I think right after that 7 year mark, I hated it. I hated the marriage. So the last half of the marriage, I was miserable. But I was a traditional guy. I never would have filed for divorce. You know, I would have just been miserable for the rest of my life thinking like that's how it's supposed to be. Knowing better now, you know, I realized, man, I really should have taken the time to get to know her and stuff like that before rushing to move in with her, rushing to get married, you know, and I probably wouldn't have ever married her if I had spent that kind of time doing that. So it and you're going on was this 3 years now?
Like, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. 3 years. Yeah. So you were dating her when we first talked on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been early days. Yeah. Yeah. Of dating her. And again, at that point, I had I think, again, it's common in the red pill community, this notion of when you get your mid-30s, which is where I was moving towards at that point, you sort of come into your apex level as a man, you know, and that's what I found as well. I think it's because, you know, you're more settled career-wise, you're more settled with who you are, you've overcome a lot of your challenges, you've found more out about yourself. And at that point in my life, I probably was, I wasn't necessarily getting laid all the time, but I wasn't looking for that so much anymore. Mm-hmm. I sort of been through that spell, but in terms of the quality of women I was attracting and meeting, that it was the best in my life ultimately. But like I say, I was more looking for something which I could settle down in a bit more and be, well, have a lot more of a depth in the relationship ultimately. And that's what I found with this girl. And we dated over a long period of time. And like I say, I wanted to make sure this was the right person. And that's what I said, our energy was very natural all the way throughout. But just like you're saying, I've been burnt in the past, man. I mean, I really had. And I'd got with the wrong women. I had no idea what I was doing with some of these women. A lot of them were completely toxic. And I'd given my heart to them and got ripped to shreds. I mean, really ripped to shreds by some women, or one woman in particular. And then,
it's always one woman that brings us into the space.
It's exactly, man. There was one in particular that was, again, she was a pretty girl. But again, a few red flags there, which I was just too naive to spot. I didn't even know what they were back then. And of course, I didn't really understand, you know, the nature of the masculine and feminine dynamic at that point either. And I allowed myself to get walked all over. But perhaps I needed to, you know, perhaps I needed to learn these lessons to wake me up. And eventually that's what that experience did. You know, when I'm speaking to guys who've been through breakups now, I do say to them, like, look, this is the biggest opportunity of your life. You just don't know it yet, mm-hmm. you know, because you can really wake up to who you are, to how relationships work. You can use this as a catalyst to truly finding yourself as a man. And when guys do that, you know, it's almost like they mature in quite a deep way. And then they can open up to lots of these truths, you know, and henceforth build a healthy, happy relationship if that's what they're seeking. So it took a while. I think it was quite natural from the get-go, but I wanted to be careful, you know, I wanted to know what I was getting into, and of course for her to know what she was getting into as well. And I think we've both gone into it with our eyes open too.
Yeah, definitely. You have some videos on curbing sexual obesity, how promiscuity is fool's gold, how lust replaces love. Why do you hate hookup culture so much?
Well, I think the first thing about it is there is a space at the beginning of hookup culture where I think it can teach guys a lot of things, you know, because in our day and age, we're so detached from reality now, you know, with how men and women actually work. We're told that men and women are exactly the same, et cetera, et cetera. And they're just not, you know, they're not. And you're either going to figure that out via listening to people who've been through the hard way, or you're going to learn the hard way. And I had to learn the hard way. So in some senses, the early experiences, if you like, pick up, were useful for me. But as it went on, I just did to it earlier, I started to see a lot of sadness. I saw a lot of sadness in women who are engaging in this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of sadness in men who were, let's just say, not doing the work to improve themselves and not getting the results that other men were. I think you may have seen the 80-20 rule on internet dating and all that sort of stuff, where some guys were basically getting left behind. And I knew some of those guys as well, who I felt quite sorry for. Now, this also coincided with my turn, if you like, more to a traditional Christian position, ultimately. I started to move more towards that. I wouldn't say it was kind of like fire and brimstone type Christianity, but it was a quiet respect for the values that are therein, which, if you like, I would say are pretty based. You know, they understand the role of a man and a woman, but also they're rooted in love. And what does that mean? Well, love is a word you don't hear much in hookup communities or the red pill community. You say in the red pill community, they just think you're gay or stupid or whatever, and say, you know, you don't understand reality if you still have hope for things like love. But
you know what's funny, you know, about that? The red pill, there's guys in the red pill that are like, you know, women are incapable of love, right? And really, I mean, if you talk to, you know, Rollo Tomasi, who literally wrote the book on Red Pill, you talk to him, he's like, of course women can love. That's a dumb thing to say that they can't love, you know? They just love differently, that's all, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think ultimately, I do get what the Red Pill guys are saying to an extent there, because again, it's what I'd make the distinction between worldly love and what you might refer to as spiritual love. And I think ultimately that was what I started to find. And of course, with that adoption of that position, which became clearer and clearer to me, there is a command. And I don't want to sort of feel like I'm lecturing anybody, but just my own personal beliefs, which started to shine through, was you have to love everyone. And that means to, not to love in the sense that the Hollywood teaches to love, or pop songs. You know, I often point out, big fan of Bob Marley. I love Bob Marley's music, but he's so needy. Like when you listen to some of his songs, it's like, I've got to have you. I'll wait forever. And you're like, come on, dude. Like, geez.
Oh, it's cringy.
It's cringy, you know. And you're thinking like, again, this is what we think love is, but that's worldly love. That's I need you. You complete me. And of course, that brings all sorts of toxic energy for men and women. But what I'm speaking to here is ultimately more of, is to will the good of the other, which is beyond yourself, by the realization that you have, if you like, the same root energy, the spirit, if you will, in Christian language. And henceforth, that really challenged me of how the life I was living and the way I viewed the world and the way I view people. Because my line on it before was pretty much, well, I've done the work. I was fucking loser for years. I couldn't get laid for love nor money. Now I've done the hard yards. I've figured it out. Why don't I just go and enjoy it if other people, you know, can't be bothered to do the work? Why is it my problem? But I had that, if you like, realization, that change within me started to really make me question my actions and my worldview, if you like. And it brought me to a position of thinking, well, am I doing these women a favor by sleeping with them? You know, by basically hooking up. I certainly wasn't harming them. I wasn't forcing anybody to do anything they didn't want to do. Very often they would come to me. So it wasn't exactly like it was me using all these, again, like the media thinks, these sort of Jedi mind tricks to get women into bed. It's not how it works. But at the same time, I had to think, well, yeah, but is this good for them? A lot of these chicks, they're hooking up, they get pumped and dumped. What are they going to do? Am I just ruining their ability to emotionally bond with someone who will actually care about them? And on top of that, am I also detracting from a guy who they could actually hook up with and would really value her? Instead, she'd just sleep with a guy like me. So again, it pulled me away from that pickup lifestyle. And then as soon as I started to pull away from that, it started to make me realize that so much of my life was rooted around how women think about me. Now, this is maybe a bit controversial for your audience, and I'm not looking to start arguments, but it was something which I began to see, like the incel community and the red pill community are very similar in that they both value women very highly, you know, in terms of your, how you deal with women and your relationship with women is almost like the de facto rationale for the quality of your life, you know? And I'd come from a place where, you may already know this, my life had fallen apart about 8 years ago, completely fallen apart. My elder brother had killed himself. Friends had killed themselves. I was addicted to all manner of things, was in a real mess.
Yeah, I think we talked about that in the first time you were on. Yeah.
Right, man. Yeah, that's at the core of my story. And then I ended up kind of having this reawakening, if you will. And in that, I found a deep sense of peace. And that, for me, was the first time there was something more fundamental to life than women or worldly possessions or worldly power. And that grew and grew. So I was still engaging in pickup for a number of years after that, but it slowly took it over to become the core of my life, where it was, I ultimately was realizing there's a depth to a man and what a man is in a divine sense, which is more than the world can offer. And when I started to live by that, let's say belief or tradition, I found my life started to improve a great deal as well. I started to feel happier. I started to feel less needy. I started to care less about women. And also I found it attracted a higher quality woman for me, which I meant was less, if you like, you know, I often call them the Andrew Tate type chicks. You know, the Tate is obviously a very charismatic, good-looking dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to do well with women, but he's going to do well with certain type of women, you know. And I'm not trying to critique the guy. I think, you know, he says lots of things which are very interesting, but he's going to get, you know, your peroxide blonde, ass in yoga pants sort of chick. You know, that's the sort of woman that he's going to get. And I'm sure they're going to be hot. Mm-hmm. But that ultimately for me wasn't what I was really looking for at that point. What I was looking for was something a lot more, let's say, rooted in tradition, where there was a very strong vibe with each other, which was a relationship rooted in something bigger. And henceforth, I wouldn't say I hate hookup culture. I think I can sympathize with people who are in it. Yeah. I just don't like how I would see it nowadays, as it can detract from, if you like, the quality of someone's soul, which I don't want to get too preachy, but ultimately that's what it is. And very much in the work I do, I would like to see men find a deeper value in themselves than just that which hookup and women offer. That said, I can still appreciate that given the world is such a mess right now, there are still things to be learned. It taught me a great deal, and I probably had to go through all that to come to the end position. Maybe that's just the path that men have to take. But it's a path that we stay on for the rest of our lives. I'm quite wary of it. And just to end my little diatribe here, the fundamental thing is as well, the older I get and the more I start thinking about having a family, I worry about the social state, the social fabric of things. And again, from what I watch online, it's a similar situation in America to the UK, where people are kind of aware that things are falling apart between the genders. It's becoming quite messy, and there's lack of trust going on there right now. So ultimately, that's why I've become more wary of pickup as opposed to a more traditional relationship.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's have you ever read The Game by Neil Strauss?
Yes.
Yeah. So one thing that I found very striking in The Game, and obviously this isn't every man's case. There's guys that are happy to be permanent plate spinners, to just do hookup culture forever. I know some of these guys, which is fine. Like if that's, you know, how you want to live, great. You know, that's what fulfills you. Awesome. But one thing that was striking in The Game was that all of the pickup artists, you know, even though they could get like all these hot chicks, you know, and they could bang all, you know, all these chicks like every weekend and stuff like that, they all ended up being like so empty inside, mm-hmm. you know, and they were all just like messed up in the head from it. And, you know, they really just wanted something at the end of the day that was more fulfilling, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably what more guys than not eventually will come to that conclusion.
Yeah. And like I said, maybe some guys have to go through all of that. I just worry about the social impact of it, and as well the impact on the men. Again, what it can do to your mind and heart and body and soul. But again, I mean, I don't know if you followed all the RSD guys who popularized pickup maybe about 10 years ago.
Yeah. They were mentioned in the book. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Again, I think, what did he call himself? Tyler. He used to have a name in the book. I forget what it was.
Oh, Owen Cook. Yeah.
Yeah. But he had a name in the book as well.
Which he went by Tyler, RSD Tyler Durden. Yeah.
Yeah. But he, I think he's gone to a more like traditional self-help type position, which is rooted in like spiritual health. I think that Julian guy did as well, but I thought the most interesting one was Roosh. Do you know Roosh?
Yeah, Roosh B. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to love Roosh when I was growing up. He was like really hardcore pickup type stuff, very edgy. I used to read Bang quite a lot. It was like a bit of a manual I used to use. But he's gone to a really like trad orthodox Christian position. It's quite interesting actually to listen to his story. I quite like him. I think he's quite an interesting guy.
He's one if people don't realize who Roosh V is, he's one of the three R's of the Manosphere. He's one of the original, like him, Rollo and Royce were like the three, you know, main guys in the red pill space when it first started. Yeah.
Yeah, right on, man. And again, it's quite interesting seeing lots of these guys, like you say. I mean, I think a lot of them, you do kind of come to, I think, a conclusion with it, where you think, well, this is unsustainable in the long run. And of course, as I say, I think my biggest concern with it is the social wide impacts that you get out there. And of course, one thing I come across a lot in my work that I do now is guys will say, you know, I really want a traditional woman. Like, that's what I want to find. You know, I don't want a girl who hooks up with loads of guys. And I'll say, well, okay, that makes sense. But, you know, what about you? And most of these guys have got limitless sexual partners in their life and are still pursuing that lifestyle like I was. And there comes a time where I think we have to practice what we preach. You know, if we want that more sedate relationship rooted in traditional foundations, then we have to back that up in our actions too.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Cause we tend to attract what we are. So if we're out being, you know, whoring around as guys, those are the types of women you're going to usually meet up with. Now, the funny thing is that one thing that, you know, we tend to have this viewpoint that, you know, there's traditional women and that, you know, there's slutty women, but in reality, depending on who the guy that chicks around could determine how she acts too, you know, really.
Yeah.
I like to sort of have the idea that there's no such thing as a good girl. You know, a good girl is a bad girl that just hasn't been caught yet, you know. And, you know, it's cool. Like if she's traditional with you, like, so a good example of this is my girlfriend, Nurse Chick, right? Nurse Chick is like the most traditional woman you would ever meet, right? She's very, very submissive. She comes over to my house. She cleans everything. She does all the dishes. She cooks dinners. She won't let me get off the couch. She brings me drinks and stuff, right? But you know, like in private, she is just like she's a wildcat. And I love it. Like, she's my wildcat, you know? And I think, you know, so like I stopped having this idea of, you know, that there's like traditional women and whatever, because it's like, I don't know. At the end of the day, it just depends on the guy that, you know, the woman's around, and like, you know, the frame that he's in and how she responds to that.
That's true, man. I hear that. But then again, I think this is why, again, which took me back to more of a traditional Christian position, because I started to see, well, you know, this is a word which is seen as like the sort of toxic word, if you like, these days. But that's the value of something like patriarchy, as I would see it, which is, if you like, the absolute antithesis of the modern worldview, which is patriarchy is pure evil. But the idea here is that I do know what you're saying. A lot of women will gravitate to the strong masculine energy that they're conditioned within. You know what I mean? And henceforth, if you have strong father figures, patriarchs, you tend to find that traditional quality to a woman is emphasized, you know. And I think that one of the things which originally turned me back to a traditional position was realizing that even the Bible is pretty based in parts. I mean, there's parts of Proverbs where it's like, you know, beware of a woman with her voice like honey, and even though she looks beautiful, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but some of her thighs go down to hell, and and you're like, that's just red pill. That's all that is.
Yeah.
Know? So it's very based, like, very aware of like the danger, if you like, of the feminine side. But henceforth, I think that's why we once had a culture, or maybe still have remnants of it, which does emphasize that sense of, you know, something like control. And again, in your own personal life, I think it's fine if people do whatever they want to do. But for me, again, it came back to that position where, in some senses, the masculine and, you know, more wise women, if you like, have to play a role in that too, in terms of moving, if you like, some people away from that position, which is just, it's become a bit out of control right now. I mean,
oh, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I speak to lots of guys, again, with the work I do, and they'll often comment like, I don't know how these guys' fathers let their daughters act like this. I mean, a lot of them have had hundreds of sexual partners, hundreds, man. Mm-hmm. You know, these just average women. What is going on there?
Well, I think that's a big problem, right? Is that a lot of these women don't have a father figure. You know, there's a lot of, you know, single moms out there trying to do the best that they can, but without that strong father figure, especially for men. Have you ever read Boy Crisis?
No, Warren Farrell, is that it?
Yeah. It's a pretty good book. I don't like his recommendations, like as far as like how to fix the problem, but his statistics are like on point, right? And that's a big thing, like where boys growing up without fathers is really having a huge impact on society in a negative way.
Destabilizing, definitely. But, and I think all manner of issues, and of course that's a lot what I speak about as well, you know, that lack of initiation into the masculine world, that lack of guidance of how to deal with the challenges of being a man. And the other side to it as well, you know, I often say there's three fathers we all have: earthly father, cultural father, divine father. And it's also the divine father's gone, because if you like, we don't have any of those traditional systems anymore. Religion, if you like, has fallen away. And with that, spirituality too. So it's a very here and now world we live in, where it's very much about one's needs. And then the cultural father is, if you like, those sort of social rules which would guide us in the past as men, you know, guides in how we grow up. And they've very often been eradicated as well now, which I believe is why I got stuck in such a mess in the first place. I didn't know what a man was. I didn't know what masculine energy was. I don't know what you're supposed to do as a man. So I had to learn it all from scratch in my 20s, you know, which, and again, I was very lucky. As I say, I had friends who died and elder brother died. And I think a lot of that is because of this. It's because of this lack of guidance, et cetera, et cetera. Just out of interest, What were Warren Farrell's recommendations that you disagreed with?
Well, like, so I think a big problem that got us into this mess, right, is this whole idea of feminism and egalitarianism specifically. And he just recommends more of that, you know, like when it comes to, you know, he's like, you know, boys do it, like we should encourage boys to do more feminine roles and stuff. And it's just like, I don't think that's the case, man. I think I think we need to sort of get back to tradition, you know. And the funny thing is, a lot of which I don't think we'll ever do, honestly. Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
That's for sure. I don't think that we'll be able to put the toothpaste back in the tube, but I mean, I think that would fix it if we could somehow have a time machine and go back in time and go back to more traditional values. That would fix a lot of problems, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I think we're so far down the line, you know?
Yeah, I hear totally what you're saying. But I personally think we have to die and be reborn as a culture. I think that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because I think these values that we're talking to, they're as old as time. You find them cross-culturally around the world.
Yeah.
And any civilization that's successful has lived by these values, and we've kind of got rid of them. And now, if you like, the peak of Western culture, and it's kind of tipping over the edge now where everyone's looking around like, is it me or is it getting a bit crazy? You know, it's that great line in Joker, the movie. I love that movie where he says, like, it's getting crazier out there. And I think a lot of people are starting to feel like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like, again, I think you've got the same thing in the States that we have here. It's like, it's funny, you know, this people will do it to wind up politicians. They'll ring up radio stations when a politician is on and they'll say, can you define a woman? You know, and these politicians just don't know what to say because they're so afraid of offending everyone. And even themselves, they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But then in the next breath, they'll say that we need to think about women's rights. And you think, well,
what's a woman?
You can't define a woman.
Right. You know,
just mental.
It's clown world out there for sure.
Exactly.
Richard, we're a little over an hour, man. This has been great catching up. Where can people find you online?
You can find me at Instagram, awakened_man_, YouTube is awakened man or awakenedman.co.uk. If you want to check out my website or even book a call with me, you can do that there as well. I'm about to release a book of daily readings, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Maybe in the new year, if everything goes to plan. It's a bit of a nightmare getting things published on a schedule, though. So yeah, they're my main sources you can reach me at.
All right. Thank you so much, Richard. I appreciate you taking the time to join me again today. We'll have to do this again soon and not wait 18 months.
Anytime, brother. Anytime, man. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. Richard, thanks for joining me again, brother. It was good to catch up, man. It's been quite a while. It's been too long. So, and you're welcome back anytime. You always have a lot of good insights, and I appreciate that about you. All right, guys, like I said at the beginning, I've already recorded this once and had to start over again, so I'm going to make it short. If you haven't done so already, please like, subscribe, hit those notifications, drop a comment, you know, any comment will do, your favorite emoji. If you are listening on your favorite audio platform, give us a 5-star review, and actually write out why you like the show. All that kind of stuff like boosts us in the algorithm. It gets us in front of more men. And that's like a free way that you can help out the show. Otherwise, follow me on social media, at Come On Man Pod on Twitter and TikTok, and at Come On Man Podcast on Instagram, on YouTube, and on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Twitter is actually pretty fun right now, right? Because Elon Musk is in charge. It's almost like I'm uncensored there. So you get my real hot takes on Twitter. I can sort of speak my mind without reprisal. And this stuff I say is never really that bad anyway. Like, I don't know why people get their panties in a twist so much on social media. Again, join the Patreon, patreon.com/comeonmanpod. You can support the show for as little as $10 a month. Get on the beer credits at the end of these YouTube episodes, and you'll get all these episodes ad-free on Patreon as well. Also, if you didn't know, on Wednesdays and Fridays now, I am live streaming on YouTube. So if you want to support the show, but you don't want to, you know, sign up for the Patreon, which is a subscription, and you just want to, like, you know, one-time, you know, monetary donation to the show, join one of the super chats. I'm sorry, join one of the live streams and leave a super chat. And then that's another way you can help support the show. Super chats help. And you can leave a super chat for as little as like a dollar. You know what I mean? Get on the email list, list.comeonmanpod.com. And if you join the email list, I will send you free stickers for your troubles. I'm really just trying to get everyone's email list so I can contact them if I ever get deplatformed. It's sort of a hedge against, you know, being tated. And then check out the Law of Attraction course, my practical Law of Attraction course. You know, there's no crystals with it. There's no genies granting wishes. There's no magic eight balls. It's practical advice that you can follow to take control of your life and write your own story, right? So many people tiptoe through life, just letting life happen to them, and they're just trying to make it safely to death, right? But they don't realize that the power's in their hands to write their own story. Maybe you want more money, maybe you want better relationships, you know, whatever. Whatever your goals are in life, if you follow these tools that are in this course, you can achieve some pretty amazing goals in your life, okay? So check that out. Links in the description for that. I think that's pretty much all I have for this week. We'll either catch you on Wednesday for the live stream, or we'll see you next week on Monday. Take care.
This has been the Come On Man podcast. New full episodes served hot every Monday morning on your favorite podcast platform of choice. So subscribe now. Follow Paul on social media. The links are in the description. Now, go out and get it.